My thought on this was to reduce one teaching staff position. Not a good option. I don't like that option. But it's the most viable one I can come up with.
The Skagway School Board is trying to balance the 2013 budget. I'm Adam Richard. This story and more up next on the KHNS Local News. Balancing the 2013 budget will be no easy task for the Skagway School Board. Here is Skagway reporter Misty Wiley with the story.
Skagway School is asking for ideas to balance the budget for the next year. It's budget time again, and all municipal departments are evaluating their fiscal needs for fiscal year 13. Skagway School is no exception. Superintendent Jeff Thielbar presented a draft budget to the community on Wednesday. He has been working with the school board and staff to plan for the coming fiscal year.
The handout that we had for you is a budget draft. It's not even a proposed budget for us to hand in to, like, to submit to the city or anything, because it's not balanced yet. But it's to the point where I need help. Now, I approached our staff in a staff meeting, and they've given some time to this and all, but we still need some help figuring out exactly what to do. There are some options out there, and some of them are not wonderful options, but they're options. Anytime you talk about cutting programs or staff or any of those kind of things, it's an option. It may not be the best option.
Even though the budget has been cut, there is still a shortfall.
What I'd like to kind of center our focus on tonight, if we can, is that operating budget. Bottom line, out of the operating budget, and I've already trimmed it a bunch. Well, like when you look at maintenance and operation, you know, FY12 operated was $335,900, so $336,000. Now it's $296,000. So there's quite a budget cut there. That's been done in every category. The bad thing is, I'm still almost $60,000 short of making it to where our operating budget cap is.
This issue is heightened with the consideration that some of the cut items are important to the continuing development of teaching staff.
We've cut to the bare bones some things. There is no professional development in there. There is no teacher travel in there to go to receive professional development. In my estimation, I've cut it too much. I think that it'll hinder the advancement of our students and our teachers.
With a projected student population of 63 students next year, the funding issue is not going away anytime soon. Assemblymember Tim Cochran suggested the school use funds that have been carried over from previous years.
We do have a fund balance. It's over $500,000. So if you have to take that $59,000, I would suggest to do it.
The school board faces a difficult decision.
My thought on this was to reduce one teaching staff position. Not a good option. I don't like that option. But it's the most viable one I can come up with. In my estimation, the most logical place to do that would be to reduce our science and mathematics position. Make it one position, a science / math teacher. I hate losing teachers. You know, ulcers up late at night for this. But I truly think that that is an option that needs to be.
Jeff said the logistics of combining classes may be tricky, but is an option to consider. Ultimately, there were five options that were offered at the meeting. 1, possibly renting a different building with utilities included. 2, use the carryover funds to cover the shortfall. 3, renegotiate the contract with the teachers to reduce or eliminate their salary increases for the year. 4, utilize the superintendent as a teacher. Or 5, to cut one teaching position. A formal school board meeting is scheduled for this Wednesday, January 17th, to take up the issue again. The deadline for Jeff to present a balanced budget to the Assembly is February 15th. Reporting in Skagway for KHNS, it's Misty Wiley.
Wednesday at the Haines Public Library, the Tokchinook Watershed Council gave a talk on baseline water quality in the southeastern Klehini River watershed, which is basically the Porcupine Mining District area. Here is Executive Director Brad Ryan to tell us more on their study.
This is the first quarterly sampling for us, and what it is we as the Watershed Council want to establish baseline water quality in this area in light of a proposed large-scale copper mine that would be in the watershed up there of the mining district.
And what did their initial study find?
So essentially what we found, despite the fact that there's a bunch of smaller mines up there, the water quality is fantastic. It was tenfold under any standard that we could find on any of the parameters, which is good for the current miners. It says, look, we're not polluting the water, at least in our first quarterly sampling. Now we have three more to go, and we won't know how those turn out until we actually get the results. But the idea is we get this baseline data, and if the large-scale mine goes in, that's the Palmer mine or Constantine, not that we want to say don't go in, but we do want to say we want to know what the water quality is, and if something went awry, then we would have some baseline to point back and say, well, you know, maybe you should change what you're doing or improve your standards and not have these infractions.
Just how fantastic were those results?
If you look at water quality standards for the state, you can look at drinking water or aquatic standards. And yeah, literally, you know, if the standard is 1,000 on some parameter, we'll get 1 or 10 or no detect a lot of times. So it was really good water quality, at least this first go round.
The Palmer Constantine property referred to is a mineral exploration project located south of the Haines Highway, adjacent to active placer mining operations along Porcupine Creek. The property got its name from Merrill Palmer, a local Haines prospector who first discovered and staked the property back in 1969. During its 40-year history, many different mineral explorations have taken place, with 35 exploratory holes being drilled, totaling nearly 25,000 feet prior to Constantine Metal Resources' involvement in the property. If the Toksinuk Watershed Council were to find that the mine had diminished water quality, what would these baseline tests mean for them?
We're not in the enforcement side of things, but it is a tool to say, look, this is what the water quality is for the hopefully over the next year, and hopefully it remains outstanding. And then we can say, when the mine comes in, we expect it to stay that. You know, now we wouldn't be able to go, oh, we're the Toksinuk Watershed Council, and we're going to fine you. That's not our role at all. Instead, it would be, we'd try to work with people to say, oh, can you improve it? Look, this has gone downhill. And the mine is taking water quality as well, but the Watershed Council has been pushing, you know, we kind of need to watch our own backyards.
It is still unknown if Constantine Metal Resources will move forward on the Palmer property. On their 2011-2012 calendar, they have a variety of studies listed to still be conducted, including a $5 million drill-focused program, baseline environmental and geotechnical studies, and water quality sampling. When asked why it is important to protect and maintain water quality, Ryan had this to say.
Well, yeah, it is a bit of a no-brainer, but truthfully, fish has been the Watershed Council's focus. But on the other side of it, you swim in that, you play in it, and it's upstream of most of the community. So if it's bad up there and it comes down to the community, you're not going to want a bunch of polluted water coming down in your backyard.
In local sports this weekend, the Haines Glacier Bears will be going up against the Sitka Wolves on the basketball court. The boys will be away, with the girls playing at home. Both Haines teams are currently undefeated in their regular season. Game time is 7 p.m. both Friday and Saturday, with Lyle Huff calling the game from Sitka. Next week, the Skagway Panthers have a busy week with 4 games on the schedule, the first 2 against the Thorn Bay Wolverines, and then 2 games against the Klawock Chieftains. KHNS is currently looking for announcers to call the Skagway away games. No previous experience is necessary, just a love of the game. If you are interested in supporting Skagway basketball by announcing away games, you can contact Amelia Nash at KHNS. That number is 766-2020, extension 9, or you can reach her by email at pd@khns.org. The Upper Lynn Canal should be seeing its first significant cold snap of the winter over the weekend and into next week, with temperatures dropping over the next 24 hours to 8 below zero, with wind chills of minus 25 near White Pass, and temperatures of 3 below with wind chills of minus 30 near Haines. With forecasted temperatures remaining below zero until Thursday, that will give the cold plenty of time to penetrate your pipes and vehicles. Last winter's lack of snow cover in Haines plagued residents with a barrage of frozen pipes when temperatures dropped. That isn't a factor this year, as there is plenty of snow on the ground. Residents of the Upper Lynn Canal should take some preventative measures, though. Leaving the cold water running on a trickle is always a good idea. If you have heat tape on your pipes, it may be a good time to plug it in. The cold can also make your cars unhappy. Plug in oil pan or radiator heaters if you have them. If not, give your car a few extra minutes to warm up, as driving away with a very cold engine increases the likelihood of something breaking. High winds will be accompanying the cold, which poses a risk for exposed flesh. With wind chills getting down to minus 35, exposed skin can freeze in 30 minutes. So take care to cover up if you plan on being outside for extended periods. It doesn't hurt to be prepared for the worst. Make sure you know where your outside water shutoff is and that you can access it. Temperatures should start to warm up by next Friday or Saturday. Thanks to Misty Wiley for help with this broadcast. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.